Ave, and welcome to Emperors of Rome, a podcast about the rulers of the ancient Roman Empire. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and with me as always is Dr. Rhiannon Evans, a lecturer in ancient Mediterranean studies at La Trobe University. We now take a brief interlude to explore a story that came in between the story that we previously were exploring. I now present you with The Singing Colossus of Memnon. Here's Rhiannon Evans.
So Hadrian was the ultimate tourist. He spent a lot of time travelling around his empire, and one of the places that he visited on his big travels was Egypt. He was there in late 130 CE, and in November he is travelling down the Nile, and he does one of the tourist stops that everybody who visited Egypt wanted to do. So if you had the rough guide to Egypt back in antiquity, this would be one of the highlights. And that is to go visit the so-called singing statue of Memnon, which is near Luxor, near a burial ground, near the necropolis. And it's actually two enormous statues, which aren't of Memnon. They're made of sandstone. They're near the temple of Amenhotep III. So presumably they represent him.
So when Hadrian was there, this was literally a stop on the tourist route, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So how long had people been going there for, do you think?
The earliest Greco-Roman reference we have is from Strabo, who is an early imperial writer, and he's a geographer, so he does write about those regions. But the actual statues had been there since about 1400 BCE, so It may have been a tourist stop for quite a lot longer.
In this context, they're singing statues.
They are.
What does that mean by that?
Well, it means that when the sun rose, they made a noise. We don't absolutely understand why, but it almost certainly is because the sun rising caused the temperature to change. That temperature made certain cracks in the statues vibrate at a particular frequency, which made a sound. Now, this can only have happened from the point where an earthquake had half destroyed the statue, so that it had this split in it. So it hadn't always done that. But by this point, that's what it was very famous for.
Yeah. So what did Strabo write about it then?
Strabo writes that it is believed that once each day a noise, as of a slight blow, emanates from the part of the latter that remains on the throne. So in other words, of the two statues, only one of them remains seated, and its base. And he actually went there, so he has direct experience of it. And in his description, he says, "When I was present at the places with Aelius Gallus and his crowd of associates, I heard the noise at about the first hour, so very early in the morning. But whether it came from the base or from the colossus, or whether the noise was made on purpose by one of the men who were standing all around and near to the base, I am unable to positively assert."
Right, so he's sceptical as to whether the statue's making the noise or some locals are standing around going, "Wee-oh!"
Yeah, he's quite suspicious of this being what we would call a tourist trap.
Yes.
Are you going to go there and pay to go there? And presumably, you know, you'll spend money at the local cafes and things. And the draw card is that it makes this noise, and could they be making it up? I think Strabo's the only person who seems to suspect this. And certainly modern ancient historians who look back at this tend to believe that this did happen because it happened over a period of time. So if we think of Strabo going there in around 20 CE, Hadrian goes there in 130. So that's 110 years of somebody standing there making the noise if they are just fooling the Romans.
I'm sure it's not the same person doing it. So what's the context for Hadrian's trip there? It's a few weeks after the death of Antinous, isn't it?
Yes, so presumably this is a kind of consolatory trip. He's certainly not in happy mood at this time, but it's part of his greater tour of the empire, and he's remaining in Egypt, will be carrying all kinds of rites for Antinous and building a city dedicated to him. And I suppose by this point, Egypt has become special to him for that terrible reason that he's lost Antinous there. But he carries on with his trip, and he seems to have behaved as the normal tourist does when he comes to this place to hear this noise being made by these colossal statues. And most of the tourists who visited there did something that we would regard as rather terrible, which is they graffitied their name on the statue.
We
can still see them. We can still see this graffiti, some of it which was made at the time of that visit of Hadrian.
So would it be considered graffiti then if Hadrian's doing it?
Well, there's a different attitude towards graffiti in antiquity. It's graffiti, but it's not what we would regard as destroying something that's an important historical monument. We would regard that as vandalism now, generally.
Mm.
But clearly that was not the point then. He was adding something to it, particularly as emperor.
Yes.
He's adding his own name. And there's a real formula about how they usually do this graffiti. Some are longer, some are shorter. But they all say, "I heard Memnon." They seem to believe, or at least the formula says, that they believe that it is Memnon talking to them. Memnon, by the way, was a character from the Trojan War narrative. He was an Egyptian who came to help out the Trojan side and was killed at Troy and was then, you know, worshipped in cult. So he's somebody who's a very important part of Greek myth, but from that part of the world.
Maybe explains why Hadrian was so eager to go and see and hear the statue.
Absolutely, because it's got, you know, he's obsessed with Hellenism and it's got that strong connection with Greek myth.
So what does Hadrian have written on the statue then?
So we've got a series of poems written on the statue by someone who was part of the entourage, a woman called Julia Balbilla. She's clearly a poet because she writes poems up on the statue of Memnon. She's supposed to have been sort of part of the entourage of Hadrian's wife, Sabina. And she writes a poem about Memnon, but which also mentions Hadrian and Sabina. So rather than "I visited Memnon and I heard him speak," it's "When the august Hadrian heard Memnon." And she writes, "Memnon the Egyptian I learnt, when warned by the rays of the sun, speaks from Theban stone. When he saw Hadrian, the king of all, before rays of the sun, he greeted him as far as he was able. But when the Titan," that is the sun, "driving through the heavens with his steeds of white, brought into shadow the second measure of hours, like ringing bronze, Memnon again sent out his voice. Sharp-toned, he sent out his greeting, and for a third time a mighty roar. The Emperor Hadrian then himself bid welcome to Memnon and left on stone for generations to come this inscription recounting all that he saw and all that he heard. It was clear to all that the gods love him."
That's all about Hadrian being paid homage to.
Yes. So she implies that there's kind of a more special noise for Hadrian, that it happens three times and it's, you know, loud and thundering, that Memnon's so happy that Hadrian's come to visit.
Clearly something that Julia didn't come up with on the spot, but also would have taken quite a while to carve out on the stone there. So Hadrian must have been quite happy for his name to be associated with this statue for all time to come. And you can still see this now, can't you?
Absolutely. It's still there, which is rather amazing. And there are a lot of inscriptions on there. You can still go and read these and you'll see lots of other graffiti too. But you're quite right. There would have been a lot of work involved in this one in particular. Presumably she knew what was going to happen and she prepared it on the way, unless she left it behind for a stone carver to deal with. But, you know, it's quite high up, so it would need a skilled workman and somebody who was capable of working at a height, because we're not doing the inscription and then putting it up there on a plaque. It's directly onto the plinth. This would have been expensive. It would have been something that Hadrian and his gang, his entourage, paid a lot of money to have done, something they thought worthwhile because it's associating Hadrian's name with this famous statue. And then everyone who comes to look at this as a tourist will see this memento, in fact, a series of mementos, because there's a whole lot of poems which commemorate Hadrian's presence there and the fact that the god was so auspicious to him.
So in the current day, you can no longer hear this statue sing, can you?
Memnon will not sing for you as he did for Hadrian, I'm afraid. The statue was repaired towards the end of the 2nd century in 199 CE by the emperor of that time, Septimius Severus, who no doubt thought he was doing a good thing by restoring this great monument of the Egyptians. But whether he knew it would, well, presumably if he really thought Memnon was speaking, he didn't think that would make any difference. He was actually sort of paying homage to this god. But what the effect was, that it didn't sing anymore.
That's Dr. Rhiannon Evans, lecturer in Ancient Mediterranean Studies at La Trobe University. This was just a quick one, so that's it today for Emperors of Rome. I now invite you to fill in the blanks. iTunes, Facebook, at Dr. Rhiannon Evans on Twitter, at Nightlight Guy on Twitter. I'm Matt Smith, you fantastic. Thanks for listening.